listening to The Cult Radio.
Do you introduce and then...
I am right now. You are listening to The Cult Radio. I'm your host, but low impact. And our co-host is Unsugarcoated Life. And our guest tonight is Rob. You have to say your last name because I was...
Rob O'Connick.
I always say like O'Connick. Totally horrible.
We do know him.
Well, and you can call me anything you want. I don't really care, so...
What's the preferred?
Famous Rob.
No, I mean, maybe the governor or...
The governor.
I'm just kidding. Just Rob.
Mr.
Just
President. Rob.
I'm a pretty plain dude.
Well, we met Rob only a few short months ago, it feels like.
We met at a biohackers meetup.
Over Bulletproof Coffee. And he was the latecomer, and immediately after he started talking to you, I was like, wow, this guy is woo-woo.
Okay, I have a different interpretation of that. I thought, this is the guy here that I'm actually having a deep conversation with. It was pretty special.
No, yeah. It was. I'm totally joking, just because that's what, when we talk about things, it's always generally in the woo-woo aspect, or... science rooted.
Yeah, that's very true. So like when it comes to like the biohacking space, I certainly like that, but you know, for me, I'm not super tech driven, and so I rely on people like Nick to go, hey, what is the science behind this, if I want to know the science. But I'm very spiritually driven and energy driven, so that is, I would prefer to go off of like feel. How does this feel to me?
Was that always something that you were like, or that you felt like, or is it something that you grew into?
Definitely something that I grew into, just because of maybe family dynamics and just life experience. I actually probably unplugged from a lot of feeling, and which is very interesting because the last especially few years, I have rapidly started to plug back in. And it's been pretty amazing, the things that happen, but not easy. Not, you know, life happens and sends us some tough lessons. But when you get out the other side of those lessons, man, the magic that this world offers is pretty awesome.
I feel that a lot of things that have happened in my life were these like, turning points because of illness or tragedy. Injury, you know, like, but it turned into something good. Can you pick one of those times recently, maybe, that it's just like you had an incident like that that could have been really cruddy from perspective for that filter that we were talking about, but turned into be like, wow, blow me away?
Yeah, so I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is you know, like I've actually had a couple of recent relationship challenges where, you know, they've been the toughest thing, but I also would stay the course, and out the other side I just know that I'm doing good work. And part of it is like, you know, at the tail end of last year, I said to myself that I wanted to be a good, kind man, and at the time that I said that, I didn't realize what that was going to cost. And it's cost me a lot, but you know, now I'm singing the song that I was supposed to sing, and yeah, I'm doing a whole bunch of adventuring that I never thought I would have done, and I certainly wouldn't have done those things if I would have been in those other paradigms.
Take us a little deeper into that, because we were talking about that over dinner, about how you spoke that out to the universe, right? Being a good
kind man.
And the lessons it's brought you. But for somebody who really doesn't quite connect with that yet, just take us a little deeper.
Yeah, well, thank you for asking. I think for me, it always sounds good, right? And, you know, whether it's a piece of biohacking equipment or whatever, we get mesmerized by these things, or we have this illusion that it's going to be something that it's potentially not, or it never works out how we thought it was going to. And so when I made that statement, and that was a true statement, and I do want to give praise and thanks. One of the guys that I work with is Ron Morris of Ron Morris Fitness, and like he's been a great spiritual guide, and that guy spews truth to me all the time. And so we work, I call it refinement. So by and large, I'm pretty happy with who I am and how I represent myself out in the world. But when I'm not doing good work, I know. And other people might not know, but I know. And so my measure is myself. And so if I'm judging somebody or doing something that maybe behaving in a way that is not consistent with being a good, kind man, I know. And so anyway, that came to me last fall. And, you know, so that thought of in with working with Ron in refinement is, to me, is simplifying everything and just paring everything down to like, what is one statement that embraces who you are? And that's what came out. And it was very clear to me. But again, I never knew what that was going to cost me. Mm-hmm. And when I say that, I mean, I've had maybe perceived negative things that have happened, but I wouldn't change them because that has led me to right here and right now and in the room with two awesome people. And
I think that, to me, like the couple words that spoke out were clarity and then the refinement aspect of you are pairing things that were simple, mm-hmm. right? And we talk about energy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I think, those the simplification of things, of their like the bonds, and I'm not really sure how all that works with physics, but, you know, enough that we're trying to break things down into smaller parts but they become manageable. And I think that's just what refinement is. Maybe that's wisdom, too, though.
Yeah, for sure. You know, through life experience, if we learn the lesson, we get the wisdom. And by nature, I'm a simplifier. So even earlier tonight, you know, we talked about things in my business or things in your business, and I asked permission, and I said, well, may I? And a lot of times if we simplify things, then they become more attainable versus, well, I can do this and this and this and this. Well, yeah, you maybe can do all that, but are you going to actually do all that? Or can you just do the one next right thing?
That's 1%
juicy. A day.
That's juicy. Well, you also notice and you're aware of parallels.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about that over time, over whatever parameter you want to put that to, but was that natural to you or nurtured, developed, your ability to
see parallels? I would say, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but maybe a bit of both. I think that inherently that was a skill that I had. Well, the first thing that comes to me is that inherently that was a skill that I had, but I certainly have been refined over the years because as information comes into my space, all of a sudden I maybe see a practice that is consistent from, you know, China 2000 BC to Africa 1000 AD to, you know, I don't know, like all of a sudden there's all these times. And when you see those consistencies or those parallels, I believe that's where the truth sits.
So I don't know where you are on this, so this is a little bit of a curveball, and I'd love to hear your opinion, but I believe in the oneness of all people.
For sure.
Do you think it has something to do with that we just already know,
well,
because we're all one?
Yeah. Conscious, right? Like
consciousness, yeah. Well,
and it's a collective consciousness that
yeah.
we all have. We just spoke about this last
yeah.
week.
So, you know, I mean, I guess my word for God or consciousness would be source, and I don't know why I always go back to source. It doesn't really matter because, you know, everybody has the right to believe or have their language around what that is. But yeah, I definitely believe in oneness, and that oneness is inside of us. And we were actually talking a little bit outside about that, in that you know, like the truth is always inside of us. It's whether or not we are willing to look at the truth, or if we know whether or not we have access to the truth. And a lot of times, you know, what we were talking about outside is that we have this thought of, well, I need to put more in and more in and pile on more and go to this thing. And, you know, like, hey, I'm into all that, you know, whether it's, you know, a biohacking event or getting together with people and talking about things or just putting more and more on. Like, you know, I do plenty of that, but I also, if you only do that, it doesn't allow time for integration and allow time to let the truth just surface for truth's sake.
Mm-hmm. And you're also known as Rob Biohacker.
Yeah.
Or
yeah. Are kind of sure. like that's maybe a little bit of an underdeveloped platform.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but yeah, I aspire to do more coaching one day. At one time I was doing a little bit of personal and professional coaching, and then I'm going to guess that we'll get into some of the other stuff that I have
mm-hmm.
going on. But, you know, I love the coaching aspect and working with people to, you know, just help them find the truth inside themselves. And that doesn't mean that you have to have a deficiency or any of that stuff. Like, you might be pretty good, but you want to be a little bit better. And, you know, I may have a skill set that can help move that along. Currently, because of some transitional things that I have going on, I'm not really doing much coaching at all. A little bit here and there, but I would say for the next month, I'll probably be pretty tame, or I probably won't do a whole lot of that.
When you coach, what is that? What is like your main focus? What's the one thing that you start with?
That's a great question. So, you know, I used to be very driven by mind, and I'm changing some of the thoughts and belief systems that I have within myself. So as I change and grow and evolve, you know, the mind is a very powerful tool, but I also believe that the you know, it's the heart center, and it's the heart center that is actually our universe. And so if we can open up that heart space, you know, then everything becomes a lot easier.
You know, as guys, we talk about heart stuff and heart space. Have you ever, I mean, you know, we can connect on that level. There's a lot of males, especially today. I mean, and today I don't even mean that, right? Because we should aspire to be a true, authentic male self. But, you know, like, we've been generally conditioned to believe that this isn't attainable for all males. You
yep.
know, like, they can't be connected to this, I mean, feminine side, that not in a woman sense, but in a soft sense of, like, equality.
Yeah.
So you're not up and down.
Yeah, so, you know, yin and the yang, you know, we are two parts, and we need to be two parts. Well, we don't need to be, like, you can be whatever you want to be, but I feel in order to be whole, we need to have that masculine and feminine. But, you know, there is a lot of societal oppression around, you know, males shouldn't do or be certain things or cry or but and I certainly used to believe that. You know, there was a time up until probably, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago, like, I spent a lot of time dirt biking and drinking and doing guy stuff. I played hockey in the winter, and so, like, I did rough guy things. I would run into a wall and not really pay attention to it. Like, I wouldn't care, and I'm not gonna bruise.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really interesting, like, the evolution that now I just don't want to run into the wall.
Yeah.
And I probably still won't bruise, but I would prefer not to do that. You
but
know?
I think every boy needs that, you know, because if they've been sheltered through life and they had helicopter parents, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They were told to wear their helmet every time they go out on a bicycle. They were told to, you know... It's just these tiny things because they're afraid
sure.
for their safety. But if we watch from a distance, can kind of tether them a little bit,
and let them walk through these things, how like a confident adult they'll be if we don't if we don't tether too much or let them go too far, that we become that like wound that they have. But
for sure. And the one thing that that stood out to me that you said is, you know, I mean, it really is rooted in fear. Well, don't do this or don't do that or wear a helmet or what, you know, I don't know. Like the thing that I think about is, okay, well, what are you attracting by, you know, having that thought process? Mm-hmm. And from a societal letting children be children, I don't know. I think that if you don't let your children learn their life lesson, and also keep in mind, like, I'm completely talking out of turn because I don't have kids of my own. However, I've coached hockey for a bunch of years and I've been around kids forever, and you know, so, but I am talking out of school because I don't have my own children. But you know, I just think that, you know, if you don't let your children learn the life lessons, they will learn those lessons at some point in time, and the older that they get, the harder those lessons are going to be.
Yeah. And I think that fear was something that just really always strikes this kind of negative connotation in my heart. Or it did up until a couple months back at the Bulletproof Conference. And speaking to Kristen Ulmer, she changed that perspective. Is this, we are taught to believe that fear's horrible. It was a bad thing. You shouldn't have it. But it's actually something that kept us a lot, you know, makes us act and be successful.
Hmm.
You know, and it changed this whole perspective for me. And things that were fearful now, I'm not trying to run away from it or conquer it. I'm like, man, how can I use you?
That's very good. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really easy to run away from fear because, you know, I mean, inherently, or maybe not inherently, but we almost seem to be trained to run away from fear. Hey, what we don't like, we move away from quickly. And sometimes I think it's okay to sit with that kind of stuff. And I'm not sure who you're referencing, and I'm sure that talk or whatever it was that you went to was completely awesome. How I look at it is moving to the observer's mind gives us at least a fighting opportunity to, when we look at, and even in the positive. So if there's something that's super positive that happens to us, you know, a lot of times we just want to move right into celebration. Well, that's fine. Like, maybe we should do that. But, you know, sometimes it may be worthwhile to go up and to the observer's mind and go, huh, why do I really like that thing? Why do I feel joyous? Because you know, you might want to know where that's rooted in, and is that the truth? In a lot of times, it's I would say every time that we move into that fear mode or something that's perceived negative, if we're able to move to the observer's mind, then we have the opportunity to go, do I want to look at this? Do I want to sit with it? What do I want to do? Is it the truth?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think a lot of times if we were to be brutally honest, a lot of the times when we fear something, it's probably not the truth. And so if we can expose the truth, then we no longer fear it.
Yeah.
And I did read that in a Cracker Jack box this morning.
Sure you did.
Boom. Yeah. No.
Good.
I have... When you were talking, I was thinking about Peter Johnson, you know, and he teaches individuals how to protect themselves, and why they need to protect themselves or would want to. And he is ex-military, and whenever you watch any type of real military action, you never see the soldier like fleeing or not moving away from their target as they're shooting at it. They're always moving into it. So is that how we should move into fear? Because then we have the advantage, right? Because we know where we're going instead of them just beating us or fear beating us.
Yeah. Man, I just had a visual of just stepping into it. And it is the hardest thing because, you know, I think as children, our parents will say, well, if there's something painful for us, you know, they'll help protect us, and they'll want to move away. They'll want to move us away from that. And so I think we do learn to want to move away from that. But if we can just lean into it a little bit, and that actually is pretty consistent with that observer's mind. When we move to the observer's mind and things, we have the opportunity to go, huh, do I actually want to run away from this? Or can I just lean into it a little bit?
Yeah. That's where we're at in life. Just walk through so many different things in just the last 4 months. Me, from my personal downs and lows to financial things in our business, in our personal life, finances. It was just, I got to the point where I was like, you know, let's see where this goes. Let's ride it out instead of running away from it.
Yeah.
And you never know, like, this is something my uncle always told me. And he's like, you never know if God's going to catch you until you jump. And I think that's what, for whatever the source is for you, right?
Yeah.
You just got to be like, and this is Les Brown saying, don't worry about the how will take care of itself.
Yeah.
You just jump.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, at dinner we were talking about the next right thing. And, you know, to me, the next right thing is like, you know, do I want to manage where I'm going to be in 10 years? Yeah. Good luck with all that.
Yeah.
You know, the
so painful.
Well, and so I do see a lot of people, and I do have some duality about goal setting and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, like my goals in 3 months are probably going to be significantly different than they are today, and that's only 3 months from now. And so if I roadmapped a 10-year plan and I'm hardened to that 10-year plan, I may wake up 3 years from now or 5 years from now or whatever and go, oh, I'm miserable, and but I'm achieving my 10-year plan and I'm so hard into it, I don't know the difference, and I just stick to that 10-year plan. You know, I want to be a nimble person, and so as I grow and adapt and learn and grow and rinse and repeat, I want to be able to go, oh, hey, you know, I used to believe that thing, but that was yesterday.
Yeah, that's an athlete's mind, man. They're like, they're so damn good at something, and I've been in this.
Mm.
And then you become that person. Mm-hmm. Like, who are you? I'm a runner. I run.
Yeah, your identity.
And so that's their persona, and or a chef for the longest time. You know, that's all I wanted to be. And then I realized, I told Cara this a couple of weeks ago, I was like, I hated being a chef. She says, why is that? It's like, I hated feeling constantly in fight or flight. I hated,
mm-hmm.
you know, like not being at home, not, and I knew there was a disconnect between myself and the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't hit me until last week in understanding this. Like, I lived in a broken environment. And it made me nuts. But I loved and I searched out that fear and that anxiety because it had an energy level to it that vibrated super freaking high. And so my brain
was stimulated.
Yep. And I work really well. I'm like laser focused.
Sure.
You know, it's you being in the flow mode, right?
Yeah.
And it just realized that I can say, you know what, I was that person and this is who I want to be now. But it was the fear of letting go of that one thing, because that's who people saw me as.
Yeah.
Well, like,
even I did. I mean,
yeah.
Even I was writing an article about you and I said, oh, I should put Chef Nick,
mm-hmm.
because that's
who how
you
identify,
are, right? That's
yeah.
how people
mm-hmm.
identify you. And he's like, no. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm Nick.
And I just want to be
Nick.
Yeah.
Like,
and
that's
oh,
good.
That it just goes back into all of our thing. Like, you're remolding yourself right now. And
yeah.
that was our thing, too. And I was like, let's just call everything that we do being human.
Yeah.
Human being. Because fuck, how easy is it to get that screwed up?
Yeah.
Well, and you said it. Human being. And we should... We all deserve the right to be a human being, and oftentimes we're human doings, right?
Mm.
I mean, over and over and over again, we go, well, you know, hey, what are you doing? Well, I'm a chef, or I'm a widget maker, and then, like, I don't know. all that stuff doesn't matter when you're just, when you can be just Rob or Nick mm-hmm. or Kara, you know, like the mm-hmm. like that's who we deserve. We deserve the right for that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have tapped into this quiet confidence or mm-hmm. this deeper knowing.
Yeah.
That you're not limiting yourself by the roadmap you were talking about. How have you tapped into that? Just the Rob.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. How I'm not quite certain, but I'll maybe try to talk through briefly. So I think, you know, when you just have gone through maybe volumes of experiences and are willing to take a look, and, you know, for everybody it's going to be different. You know, one day, and it was just recently, I've always been a pretty confident dude for the most part, but, you know, a few weeks ago I just woke up and I'm like, I just know. I just know, like, this next thing that I'm working on is going to be successful, and I don't need to know why. I don't need to know how. I just, you know, going back to the next right thing, that's what I need to know.
Do you think if somebody's, though, stuck in this broken paradigm where there hasn't really been success in their life, I mean, from the very get-go, right? Like, they grew up in this broken-ass household, and their mm-hmm. mom or dad beat them, did drugs, did that.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you think, you know, I came from a place where I lost a little bit and then won a lot, or I always won? Would the perspective be totally different on that? Like, to carry that confidence? How is there a check mark? Do I have to get so many wins to feel this good? Because I can tell you I ran a lot of races
and probably didn't feel good.
And I did not feel good. Yeah. Even the ones that I won, I didn't feel good. And then when I got to be the number one and I was winning all these races, it sucked even worse. Because then I knew I had to keep that up. And yeah. it made me, like, work harder and get even worse, you yeah. know?
Well, and feel like you have a target on your back and feel, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, oh, I couldn't imagine. Well, and congratulations, by the way, for winning the races. Mm-hmm. But yeah. You know, does it have to do with, you know, environment or whatever? I would say for everybody, it's going to be different. You know, my environment growing up was pretty challenging, and I don't mean to say that, and I have no ill will on anything or anybody for that. That's just how it was. It just was that way. And it wasn't the worst ever, but it certainly wasn't the best ever. And for me, you know, what was the, I think you had a question in there a little bit earlier. Do you remember?
Does he have to have, like, a level you start at?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Economically or even,
if we just
success-wise.
Yeah,
launchpad.
You know, I've seen, you know, Tony Robbins, love him or hate him, like, Tony Robbins comes from shit. And, mm-hmm. you know, do you have to have, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people that come from more of a challenging background, that is a big driver. That is inspiration to continue to punch through these things. Maybe a challenge for somebody that comes from a challenged background is that they haven't been a witness to what success looks like and feels like. So to embrace that and to be good with that, and so when you win, maybe you celebrate for a day, maybe not a lifetime, but mm-hmm. you know, a day, and then you go back to work where you know, I don't know, like, I really don't think that they're, like, everybody's different, and so everybody will navigate through that differently, mm-hmm. And I've seen people that have been, come from, you know, extremely abundant families and be train wrecks, right? That mm-hmm. happens all the time, and I've seen people that have come from abundant families, and they have been a rock star because... and they've taken the gifts that their family has given them and they have expanded on them, and that should be honored. You know, a lot of times we take a look at somebody that's super wealthy and go, oh, well, they had all the benefits of their family thing. that may be true, but they also did something with it, and they had to work their tail off to enhance that, whatever enhancing means to them.
Yeah. I think band, it's like all very, it's intrinsic. And because there's so many examples of individuals that started out and they failed, and then because they had nothing. But then there's, like you said, so many that were on the top and they failed, and they still kept going. I think it all really comes down to the ability to be okay with fucking up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and truly, like, if you never stop, you never have failed. And like, it may feel that way sometimes, and man, like, I've had plenty of lows, but I've also had plenty of highs, and you know, I mean, that's how the pendulum swings, is that, you know, like, one day you're up and the next day you're down, and you know, I think the measure is, are you getting back in the game? And, you know, sometimes it's the toughest thing when you have a life event that happens and you're like, man, I just don't feel like doing it. And but then there's incredible tools that we can tap into.
I was reminded of so many, like, movie quotes, like Rocky Balboa. Even Will Smith recently. I was like, man, I could spit out, like, 3 or 4, right?
Sure.
But Adrian. Yeah.
Well, I do really, and you don't fit into a box at all. And that's just very apparent and something I've always known about you. But I am going to spill the Cracker Jacks here.
Mm-hmm.
You have a project that you're working on. Tell me about the High Vibe Roller. I'm going to just say it.
Yeah, so the High Vibe Roller. Okay, so just a little quick background. I do have a traditional business, a cleaning company called Ultra Clean, and it's the best. Like, we clean carpet. Bam! we clean carpet, air ducts, and tile and grout in Hudson, Wisconsin, and we have worked extremely hard to put that business, you know, just in the very best position, and we put a lot of effort and energy into, you know, customer service, and just we're very mindful of the job that we do every time. I have been able to grow that business to the point where we now have 4 techs and an admin that take care of, by and large, a lot of the daily operation. I still work in that business very much, but not a lot. And then I do a little bit of coaching on the side and have some rental property and a little bit of other things. But I'm not overly busy with any one thing, and I'm doing, you know, by and large, I'm living life how I want to live it. And so probably about 9 months ago, I had this thought of, I want to untether a little bit and sell it all and live out of a motorhome. And so the motorhome is going to be called the High Vibe Roller. I already own the website domain, and I've got a couple of ideas to monetize that I'll probably hold to myself for the time being, and maybe I can come on another podcast and share again. But so it's been a really interesting process, and also not easy. You know, about a month ago, I was in the process of selling my house. I was about 2 weeks out from selling my house, and I had a lot of anxiety about that. And I'm not an anxious person. I don't really deal with anxiety much. You know, I'm pretty calm and cool most of the time. And so it was really interesting to observe, and instead of running away from that anxiety, I sat with it, and it was painful, and I'm like, why the hell do I have, like, what is it? Well, and to make a long story short, you know, through sitting with it and sitting with it and sitting with it, I realized that because I had a challenged upbringing, I was able to at least create the perception of security by buying a house. And so when I was pretty young, I think I was 22 or 23, I bought my first home, and I was able to create that security. And, you know, in hindsight, it was probably a false sense of security, or, you know, a facade, but it served at that time, and it served for many, many years. It was 20 something years ago that I bought my first house. And so I bought this last house that I have been in about 5 years ago, and I love that house. It was a great house, but I realized they were still chains. There were still chains that bound me, and so taking a step back, or maybe a step up, and going, I don't need all that anymore. I don't need a security blanket, because truly, the happiness comes from within, and the keys to the kingdom. And I know that you can't hear this, or you can hear it, but like I'm pointing to my heart center, and like the universe is right there. And so if that is good, it doesn't matter what house you're in or what you're doing or anything. And so the whole message from about the high vibe roller is to simply go out and, whether it is just to inspire people to do something different. So if you're not completely happy with how your life is, maybe you can work 10 hours less a week. And then what do you do with that rest of that 10 hours? Well, you can either work on yourself physically, mentally, whatever that is to you, or spend time with your kids, or spend time with your significant other, and put that energy into those things. And by doing those things, it would be interesting to see how your life changed after a year, because it's probably not going to change after a week. But when you go back to it and back to it and back to it, so yeah, the high vibe roller is gonna be my motorhome. I feel like I just found the right one yesterday, and so I'll be going through the paces of that. And the grand plan is to fully wrap it, and think of like biohacker meets woo-woo energy worker, and maybe with like some keywords like gratitude or be kind or love or whatever, and have those sprinkled throughout. So and really what I want is to drive up and down the road, or to be at the campsite, and for people to look at it and go, that's awesome. And my day is going to be a lot better because I saw that thing. And so now I'm going to be kind to my significant other, or the person at the cash register. Mm-hmm. So
I heard you say becoming untethered. But, just to put the spin on it, is Cruz talks about it as being coupled with nature, your environment. Mm. So many of us are looking to become unattached, but what you made sense of was you moved into something through fear, but you realize that it came from a place of fear again as a child.
Yeah.
But you moved into your target, you overcame it, and now you're coupled with something else, or you're truly tethered to the thing that you want to be doing next. That's our dogs. But that's the environment, that's nature and reality, right?
Yeah. So going through that process has been the hardest thing, but out the other side, I think that, you had talked about that quiet confidence earlier and mentioned that. And I think that quiet confidence comes from, like, I've walked through these things, and I know that I'll walk through things again in the future, and all that's fine, but I know how to do that pretty well now.
Yes.
And so that quiet confidence is like, I don't need to manage anything. I just need to know the next thing that I'm supposed to do, and mm-hmm.
that right
now. Yeah, next the thing. Next right thing.
That's so
yeah,
great.
Yeah.
Well,
so
we will definitely be talking about that in the future.
I want to ride.
A show
I want to camp
on,
right?
In, and around the high vibe roller.
Right.
For sure. For sure.
Well, and I I had mentioned something that so a couple of things, like, people that know me fairly well and have been following a little bit, they'll say, well, I, what are you doing in town? Like, what are you doing in Hudson? I thought you'd be out adventuring. And I'm like, no, man, I still have a lot of responsibilities here. and I need, I am going to take care of business. But, I think over the summer, what my desire is to pick at least one event, if not more, but at least one event. And so one thing that I have coming up that I really want to do in the last week in June is the Electric Forest. And it, from what I can gather, it's like maybe like pretty super heavy techno music in this forest that is completely well lit up, and that there's fairies, people dressed up as fairies all over the place and stuff. And that is something that's completely outside of what I would ever thought that I would be doing. But I want to do that because I can...
How in the world did you hear of that?
I have a good friend of mine who works really, really deep in the woo-woo. And she's just a beautiful person, Eva. I'll give her props. And she's a massage therapist, but she does so many other things.
Where is this?
So
Kara would put on wings and be a pixie.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a fairy.
Yeah, so it's in Michigan. So it's about 9 hours from Hudson. I've already roadmapped it and things. You could... possibly ferry across Lake Michigan. That would cut the drive
fairies
off.
But, ferry.
Yeah, but I don't know if you can. I'm sure a ferry would accept the high vibe roller onto it, but I don't know. Like, well, I'll have to look at those costs and things too. But I just might want to drive that and I'll be.
See, the cool thing about the ferry though is you could just be like chilling in the high vibe and sleeping or doing whatever. You didn't have to pay attention to the road. Then there's all these people that are there stuck on a boat with you.
Okay.
So
right.
Hello.
I love this. Like, you were talking about hockey and dirt bikes and all this stuff, and now it's just so cool. Like, the electric forest, fairies, these great people, these shamans, these intuitives, your feng shui friend, all this cool stuff that I don't think a lot of people allow themselves to attract such a cool variety of different things.
It's because everybody's like wanting to do this, but they're still filtering it through their same old crap to expect an answer that they really want, because it's really too hard to accept the answer that would be given to them by, you know, the universe, and you come into these things.
Well, yeah, and I think inherently, like, or maybe by nature, I'm a connector, and so I connect a lot of people together. It's something that I've done for a long, long time. It comes easy to me, and so if I can help anybody, I will absolutely do that. And so as people talk to me, a lot of times I go, oh, you need to know my friend, blah, blah, blah. Well, I also am a connector for myself. And so if there's somebody that I want to know, I'm not afraid to go, hey, you know, like, I want to know you. You're pretty cool. And I also believe in the law of reciprocation or mutual exchange of energy and that sort of thing as well. And so... when I approach somebody and because I want something from them, you know, whether it's feng shui or whatever, I also have something to offer them. Hopefully with that energy into it, it just like these situations just unfold for me and I get to know people pretty fast and that sort of thing. But I'm also a helpful soul to them. And that's who I want to be in the world. I want to be a helpful soul.
Think if we all had that idea in finances, we would be better off, right? Like, it's not something that's taken from me.
Yeah.
It's something that's borrowed. No, not even borrowed, just exchanged. You know, like,
well,
I gave you something, you gave me something.
Yep.
Nothing was lost. Something was actually added.
Yeah, so how do I deploy this energy, whether it comes in money or... you know, whatever, you know, like your ability to, you know, if you wanted something from somebody, you have a skill set that would also probably enhance their experience too, right?
Yeah. I have this feeling, and I thought this the other day.
This funny feeling?
This funny feeling. Came from Park. No.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, God bless America. But I was sitting in the car and I thought about that, and it was... you know, one day individuals wanting to just return back to being human are going to look out to like us biohackers or whatever you want to call us for information on being healthy and not having a doctor, somebody with a degree or somebody with a paper with an acronym behind their name. You know what I mean? It'll be, you've gone through this experience. I'm going through it now and it sucks so bad. How did you do it? All right.
I tried XYZ. They all failed. Now here's, this is what helped me, but all my failures might help you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's like reading a book or, you know, I mean, truly, that's why, you know, when it comes to earlier, I referenced like with the biohacker stuff, like I'm not a technical person and I don't really get into that. And I don't want to. I want to know the bare minimum, but I also have access to you and have access to Google. And so like, it, you know, so, so
I won't say what I'm saying.
So we do. We have access to these incredible tools, and tools could be books or people or whatever. I mean, some of the biohacking books, or it doesn't matter what the topic is, a book has been written on something, and think of the how much further, faster that you can go with that information versus the person, the poor fool that
the tool is only as good as the tool that uses it.
Yeah. Well, and what I was gonna say though is that, you know, the person that wrote that had blood, sweat, and tears into that, and they had their own experiences, and you get all that wisdom off of somebody else's work. Yeah. And or, you know, like, you
know, lovely thing about that is that they actually had the guts to put it out, even if it might not have been perfect.
Yeah.
And to be okay with scrutiny. Yeah. You're like, oh yeah, you know, like, man, my Ansel Keys, my research did really suck. And I killed a lot of people.
Yeah. Well, and that wisdom, and so we have access to tools, and I think actually something that's oftentimes overlooked is, you know, either elderly or people that are just older, you know, they stopped the planet for a long, long time. And, you know, I'm going through the paces of buying the high vibe roller right now. And, you know, we were talking and kind of joking around about, you know, a guy that recently has come into my life that, you know, I'm like, he's crotchety and, you know, like he makes fun of people and all of that. But man, like he's super entertaining and he has helped me a lot. And so without going into the backstory, like, you know, we've become fast friends because he's got a skill set that he can help me with, and he wants to. And that's a good thing. And, you know, and he knows that I'm grateful, and he knows I'm doing things for the right reasons.
That's an exchange. Yeah.
He's got
something that he wants to give to you because it makes him feel good.
Yeah.
You feel good about accepting it and you're okay.
Yeah.
But then that makes you push it back to him even more. And it's like, that's the cool exchange aspect of it.
Well, and let's be honest, I think one day he wants a ride at the high vibe roller.
Yeah, right? Things can be... I could talk to this with our Maya ethics instructor in college all the time. It was like, can something be truly altruistic? And, oh my God, we, Mr. Ernst, I hate you. We beat this thing over and over and over. And he would never, like, oh, so what do you think? Well, it doesn't matter what I think. What do you think? Just to teach you ethics, he was super non-biased.
Yeah.
Even though he probably wanted to be.
Sure.
And
yeah.
God, that made you stop, and you had to think about it. You had to sit with it. And then finally, you know, there was arguments over and over and over in that class, but people generally came to a consensus once they sat with it. Because he would always just mediate with, what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, well, and even if they didn't come to a consensus, the beauty of that is he forced thought. And and so I do think that is oftentimes something that is, I don't know, undervalued, utilized, something that, you know, we have a lot of conditioning that happens in our society, and we don't encourage free thinking a lot of times, and or as a society, it doesn't seem like that. It's like, well, what does my doctor say to do? Well, I'm gonna do that. Well, that's probably a bad plan if you're not thinking about that. Or it doesn't have to be your doctor, but anything. Like, things are meant to be questioned and go, why am I doing this? And like, kids, little kids have it right. Why? Why? Over and over and over again. And I don't think that's an accident.
I think here's a good kind of follow-up for everything. It was, why? Why are you doing what you're doing?
Yeah.
And why do you act out
this thing?
Yeah, so, you know, throughout my experiences, wanting to be a good kind man in the world, I'm like, how do I do that? And, you know, it's certainly not about me. The high vibe roller and, like, looking at that and going through that process and some of the things that are going to pair with that, it's really about inspiring people to do something more than what they're doing today. And it's not for me to judge or anybody to judge, like, what that is, how that is, but it's to spark thought and, you know, why am I grinding it out at this thing that, you know, that people told me that if I just do these things, if I just go to school, if I just get a good job, if I get married and have 2.5 kids and 1.5 dogs and whatever, like, I'll be happy. And, you know, a lot of times that didn't really work out. It's about sparking that thought of, like, why am I doing something? And moreover, there's a lot of programming, whether it's through TV, radio, blah, 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 that would lead us to believe that if I don't have this type of house or this type of car or whatever, that I'm not shit. And it's simply not true. You know, the keys to the kingdom are in our heart space. And so that's where you want to go to look to see, well, am I, like, a great question is, am I happy? Am I happy? And if the answer is no, and you do the same thing tomorrow, you're going to get the same result. And so, you know, high vibe roller and, you know, the platform and that sort of thing is just about sparking thought and also taking a look at those conditioning things and going, oh, well, is that a deal? Like, should I do something different with that? And what should I do with that? Well, I don't know, like, you're you, and so you need to determine what's right for you, and that's that free thinking, that's that thought. But if you're not happy, to take a look at maybe doing something different, you know, like we had mentioned, can I work 5 hours less a week? You know, don't do what I do, because that may be sound crazy. And I know to a lot of my friends, they look at me like, we only know you as a homeowner and a stable person and blah, blah, blah. And just because I'm going down this road doesn't mean I'm unstable. It just means that, you know, I'm ready to do something different and I'm ready to untether a little bit. And the biggest thing is I'm doing that for myself so I can continue that self-discovery, but also to hopefully be an inspiration to somebody to go, huh, well, if he's doing that, then maybe I can do something a little bit different. Mm-hmm.
That's the conundrum.
I can take ballet class.
Yeah.
I can start writing a book.
Right.
I can do, you know, this thing that seems so crazy in your mind, but maybe something you've always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Also, I could think as we sat here looking at our dogs walk around is, man, what the conundrum to be an animal or a man. Be highly elevated, having evolved thinking, or I could sit here on the couch and lick my balls while everybody talks.
Oh, you don't do that already?
Yeah, but, like, well, that's pretty easy.
So with
to
that,
think of. I was
we're
so
gonna
happy.
Go. And
well, Nick's busy.
Hold on, guys.
Arr!
I had my leg up in the air. If you could, you wouldn't be able to see that.
Snap.
Everyone's balls are out right now.
Yeah. Even.
Yeah, no. So we just broke the stereotypical podcast.
Okay, we like to ask this question, and I'm actually extremely curious to hear what you're going to say. On a scale of 1 to 10, how weird do you think you are?
10 being the weirdest? Or
10 being the weirdest.
And
there's no other label attached to weird. I mean, weird can be awesome. It can be, like,
well,
super freaky.
Sure.
It can
well,
be whatever
I mean,
you want. And then I'm going to ask you why.
Well, you know, I think I'm a 5, you know, because, you know, like, I don't really think that I'm that weird. However, I know a lot of people would challenge that and probably put me at a 10 because of, you know, like, I know a lot of things about a lot of things. And
now I should be Rob the Adventurer.
So, and that's coming up.
What's your new handle?
I'm pretty sure that I'm changing my new profession to adventurer. And if I can find amateur adventurer, I want amateur adventurer because, you know, like, hey, we're all amateurs, right? So, I'm like, I don't think that I'm that weird. I know that I'm into some things that are pretty obscure, and you know, we hadn't talked about, like, you know, plant medicines and that sort of thing, but that's something that I'm super fascinated with. And you know, or you know, the piece of biohacking tech gear, I have a high-end brain training device called Neural Optimal, and you know, like, those probably philosophies are pretty polar opposite of one another, and I know a little bit about that stuff. You know, so
That one you've been impactful on my life. Just that.
That is really super cool stuff.
Yeah.
What is something you would tell our listeners? You know, just thinking that one next thing, that one thing in front of them that they can do, right? Mm-hmm. They are very inspired by you and all the stuff that you're doing. Maybe a piece of advice, and definitely how to connect with you.
Yeah, so I would say for sure, embrace yourself. That's the first thing that came to mind. And, you know, man, because with our societal pressures, it's the easiest thing to go, oh, I don't have this thing, so that must mean that I'm not doing well or whatever. And it's simply not true. You know, happiness is your state of mind. And so I would say embracing yourself, and that is a daily practice for myself. And I've gotten to be pretty good at it. I'm sorry, what was the second part to that?
So how can people connect with you?
Oh, sure. I would say, like, you know, currently I'm building out some more electronic stuff, and I do see a day very soon that I'll have a Facebook and YouTube channel and Instagram page for High Vibe Roller and speak as that. But you know, currently you can find me at Rob O'Connick on Facebook, probably is the best way. Yeah. And so I've been posting a lot of my adventuring here recently, and by no means do I think that I'm a big deal or any of that. In humility, I just want to be an inspiration to people to do something meaningful to themselves. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
I was just thinking, he's reminiscent of Michael Pritchard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have a friend that's an owner of a company, and we just see his, I'm here in Bali, I'm here, yeah, you know, just everywhere. He was in a country during a coup, and he's like, this is the coolest thing. We heard this through somebody else, but, you know.
Well, and I'm not that bold yet, you know, but, you know, I do like to, you know, recently we had talked, and I've been to San Francisco and Chicago and Denver, and just, you know, just all in the last few months. And I you know, earlier I said the earth is meant to be stomped on, and that's very true. And I think when we travel, we get different perspective, and traveling doesn't necessarily mean we have to go to Bali, although that would be super cool. And I do actually, something on my radar is to go to Egypt next year. I have an opportunity to go to Egypt and look at the pyramids, and I don't, you know, I think some of those things are going to be, some of those ancient things are going to start to be shut down and not where tourists can visit anymore. So, but it's not inexpensive, and you know, so those things have to be factored in. But man, enjoy the journey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yeah. So, and you know, maybe look into the electric forest. So
yes,
if you want to throw up a link to that, like, I have no ties to that. Like, I make no money off of anything. I don't even know that I'm gonna go for sure, but man, like, that ride sounds pretty fun. So
yeah. We'll definitely
maybe
hope for that too. That sounds just so cool.
Magical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, to listeners, I would say, be good with yourself, find the magic within, connect with nature is something that's really helped me a lot lately. I've been doing a lot of cold thermal genesis, cold therapy, plunging into, there's a waterfall not very far away from my house. I've been spending a lot of time with that. And the hike going in is probably a mile and a half, so it's not like I have to walk 100 yards to get to it. You know, like I have to work a little bit for that. And it's not a lot, but, it's something that lately I've been doing sunrise hikes and going there. And, there's something pretty magical to laying in a waterfall when the sun's coming up and looking up and the sky is blue. And, man, and how could you not help but to go, yep, today's going to be a pretty good day.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yay! Mm-hmm.
So this is just a test. Everybody talk.
Talking.
Everybody talk.
One, two, three.
Can I find the